Blog Talk Radio.
This morning that he has given us all a second chance, for he is the God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. He's always there with us through our ups, through our downs, through our good, through our bad. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we, as his children, children of God, we must serve God faithfully, with reverence and godly fear. We got to fear the Lord. Don't take God for granted. Don't think you can get away with anything with God, because he sees it all. He sees us in our good, our bad, and our absolute mess. But from your mess can come a message on how good God is, that he will bring you through when you feel that you're at your end. He will bring you through when you feel that you can't go on. He will bring you through when everything seems to be going wrong in your life. He will bring you through heartache and pain. He will bring you through the craziness of this world. God will bring you through, because Jesus Christ does not change. Our Father God does not change. He is the potter, and we are his clay. And we must be humble, giving him glory, giving him honor, giving him praise. Father God, I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your daughter, to be called a child of God, to be called a son of God, to be called a daughter of God, to be called, Father God, I lift up this mighty word this morning as we go into our New Testament, Lord God, a testament to you, a testament to your son, his resurrection, and the fact that he sits every day, every minute, every hour on your right hand, interceding through grace for each and every one of us. For he is the same. He does not change. His love is everlasting. So, Father God, as I lift up families today, lift up families in bereavement, lift up families that have sick and shut-in loved ones, lift up families that are going through, God. Lift up our children this morning, God, that go to school in the cold, in the dark. Lord, protect them. Cover them from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord God. Watch over our children. For there are wolves out there in sheep's clothing, predators, looking to devour our children, to take them away from you, God. Keep our babies covered, God. keep them covered, for they are the future. Lord God, I pray for pastors today going through, getting their sermons ready for Sunday, having to go into families to pray. Give them strength, God. As they give their all for you, pour back into them the strength that only you can give. Father God, I pray for people of God to stand strong against the wiles of the enemy, to stand strong against all the foolishness that comes out of Congress, that comes out of Washington, that comes off their television. Lord God, give them discernment to know truth from fiction, to know good from bad, to know foolishness from righteousness. Father God, give them discerning spirit. Give us all discernment. And Father God, as I increase, I ask for strength. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Father God. For you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. I lift this word up to you, Lord God. May it touch someone's heart, mind, and spirit as we go through this day. Lord God, I pray for those that are traveling the highways and byways, going to and from work, going to and from to meet family and with family. As we go into this holiday week, God, I'm asking you to cover every driver, every family member flying on trains, planes, and automobiles, God. I ask you to keep them all covered as they travel to be with loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am so thankful that you joined me this morning. I am filled up because we got a word today. We are going to be in the New Testament. And wow, is all I can say. Wow, great word. So we will be in Hebrews chapter 12 and 13. And we will be going into a new book, clap hands, hallelujah. If time permits, we will be going into James chapter 1. And all I can say is, James, the brother of Christ, is all that. There's so much in the book of James that all I can say is, wow. That apple, woo, didn't fall too far from their holy mama's tree. Because James can preach. James will make you feel something. James will give you a real Christian faith is shown by one's good work. You know, but we all know that faith without works is dead. So we got some work to do. So let's go to work, y'all. Get your Bible, because this is Bible study. And we are coming again out of Hebrews chapter 12, 13, James chapter 1. And if time permits, we will be in the 129th Psalm, Proverbs 28, verse 26. Proverbs 28, verse 27. And, by the way, Proverbs 28, 28. And 130th Psalm, verses 1 through 4, if time permits. We'll go and hit our Old Testament word. And the word of God says in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Because we go in all filled up and all beat down. We got to lay aside it. Every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And I'm going to tell you, mine is procrastination. I'm asking God to remove that from him. Procrastination is not of God, and we got to ask God, Lord, remove that. Remove that spirit of procrastination from me, God. I'm asking God right now, that sin that is there, as Paul talked about his thorn, procrastination is mine. And I'm asking him to get rid of it. I don't want to go into New Year with a procrastinating spirit. In the name of Jesus, I'm begging God, help me to remove that from my mind, from my spirit. I'm working on it. So pray for me, y'all. And it says this, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. God will beat your behind when you need it. And I'm speaking it, then have my hiney toe up from the floor up, because I was a disobedient child. And I thank God that he tore me up. I thank God he convicted me to the point where I couldn't hardly stand. I thank him for it. It changed my life. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjugation to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seems best to them, but eat for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Come on now. We see this every day. Churches in our jobs, folks acting just ugly. And you're like, what in the world? And let's keep it going. Because this word is a today word. It was yesterday, today, and forever a kind of word. And it says, and by this many became defiled, lest there be any fornicated or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. But you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he started diligently with him. But think about this. Esau didn't have Jesus, but we do, so we can go and repent and ask forgiveness. And God hears our prayers. God sees our tears. Through Jesus Christ, we can gain repentance. Oh, praise God. But you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burns with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, but if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Woo, hallelujah. What a word this morning. And for those that are just joining, moving forward, this is Bible study, and we are coming out of Charles F. Stanley's Life Principle Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of Hebrews, and I'll be in James this morning. But as we go back into Hebrews chapter 12, there are life lessons, and the life lessons, life questions, life principles, what the Bible says, those are commentary from Dr. Charles Stanley to help us to understand the word that we are reading so that it gets into our spirit. And God has given him a clarity that many do not have. So I thank God for Dr. Stanley and for this Bible. So I tell you, get this Bible in your biblical arsenal. It is a great Bible to have as you go through the Word of God on your own when you meditate. This is an awesome word to have. So I just say, get your Bibles and get this Word. And it says this in Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, just as Abraham kept on this course of faith by trusting in God's promise to reward his obedience. So Jesus kept on his infinitely tougher course by looking toward God's promise to reward him for his obedience. Hebrews 12 and 11. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Come on now. Nobody likes to be disciplined. It never feels good. It never puts a smile on your face or a spring in your step, at least not initially. But if we cooperate with God, when he corrects us, blessings always result. Say that is the truth. And understand, family, blessings are not always financial. Blessings can be your spirit. Blessings can be your assignments. Blessings can be you being better today than you were yesterday. Blessings can be just spending time with God and hearing his voice. So don't always think that a blessing is financial. A blessing is stuff. Again, stuff is going to be here when you're gone. That blessing can be the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lighten up your square. Lighten up your steps, lighten up your heart. And that's the gift and the blessing we want the most, is to be in tune with God. Hebrews 12:28, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And that's where our word is coming out of this morning and of yesterday as well. And the word that Dr. Stanley gives us, divine grace, never encourages us to live in ungodly ways, but instead motivates us to fear and obey God in a healthy and reverent way. Grace enables us to and not to sin, to serve and not to sin. That's our goal in life, to serve and not to sin. Hebrews chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, but by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And that, I believe in my heart, is true. And, you know, this is a testimony really quick. And I've spoken this before. I worked in a building where I could look down and see people walking and stuff. But this particular day, I had gone out to lunch, and it was pouring, and I mean pouring down rain. And I had this, I call it my cowgirl raincoat. It was big and, you know, warm, and, you know, had that looked like one of those dusters that the cowboys used to wear. And so it kept me dry. And I had an umbrella. And so when I got out of my car, I had this umbrella, and I looked over, and there was this lady with a baby carriage. And, you know, she was standing under this overhang because it was pouring. And I walked over and I said, you can have my umbrella. I got plenty of umbrellas. I keep umbrellas in my trunk. And so I went over, and this was a big old black umbrella. It was real big. So it would cover up her and the baby. And so I gave her my umbrella. And then I went back to my car and was going to my trunk to get my other umbrella. And when I closed the trunk and looked up, her and the baby were gone. And, I mean, we're talking seconds. She couldn't have gotten anywhere because there was no houses around for her to go into because there was no houses. It was vacant lots. And I should have been able to see her. And there was, like, this one house that was condemned, so nobody could even get in the doors there. And I'm like, where did she go? I mean, literally, from putting up my trunk to closing my trunk, this woman and this baby disappeared. I didn't know what to do, except for say, okay, God, I pray she got what she needed to go and didn't get away. But I believe I entertained an angel. I had another situation where it was starting to snow, and there was this man on a corner, homeless. And I drove past him, and it's like God convicted my heart. And he said, you got a blanket in your trunk. And I drove around, drove up, got out of my car, pulled the blanket up to the front. I was with my grandkids, one of my grandchildren. And I said, hold this. And so I gave him the blanket. We drove back around. I gave the blanket to the man. And I said, I pray this keeps you warm. And then I told him about my church and that if he ever needed a hot meal, or if he just needed, because at the time we were serving food on Sundays, I said, if you need a hot meal this Sunday, come down and we'll make sure you get a hot meal to eat. And then I drove on down the street. And I kind of looked back through my rearview mirror, and he was gone. So I say this, be kind. You don't know who you may be helping. You don't know who that person may be that you give that warm deal to. You don't know who that person may be that you give your umbrella and your blanket to. You don't know if you may unwittingly entertain angels. And this is the word of God says, remember, the prisoners that have chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all in the bed under fire, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Did you hear that? Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Come on now. Say it with me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what God said to us. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrine. You better listen. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, but the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin. Therefore, Jesus, also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Are you praising God this morning? Can you say with me, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. And that the psalmist says, it makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got to give God thanks, giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. I got to go back to verse 15. Says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. We got to do good. We got to share. Share your talent. Don't sit on the gift God has given you. Sing to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Usher for the Lord. Bring your children to church for the Lord. Do what you are called to do for the Lord. If you are called to preach, you better preach like you ain't never preached before. If you're called to study and read and teach his word and teach, whatever your calling is, Nike, with that little switch there, just do it. We got to do what we're called to do. I'm grateful for mothers of the church, because I'm going to tell you something. Mothers of the church give really great hugs. You know, my godmother, who I've just adopted, who I love to pieces, Mother Valerie Bell, who is, whew, I just thank God for it. I can't wait, because my godmother and my mother, I'm meeting each other this week coming up. I know they met before, but now they get to have a relationship. You know, I'm just grateful that I have a great mother who loved me enough to give me everything that I needed and more than I could ever ask for. She gave me at the time that I needed. She gave me pills. She gave me parents. because she was just too young to have a child. But she gave me parents, and I can never, ever thank her enough. And I can never thank her enough for loving me as she does. So I'm grateful for the women in my life. I thank God for Mother Rita, who has been the mother of this church, this Moving Forward Church of Bible Study. I'm grateful for her, for her sisters, for her family. So, you know, we got to tell God, thank you for the people you put in our life. You know, on Monday Morning Glory, you know, I used to do a Thursday Bible study. And I thank God for Mother Eloise, who was there, also a great support. I'm thankful for all the people God has placed in my life. I thank God for my pastors that are pastor friends and mentors. I am grateful. We got to let God know how thankful we are. I thank God for my pastor, Pastor Jesse. I thank God for my pastor friend, Pastor Fred, who brought me up and brought me out. Wow. To Diane Grimble, who introduced me to Blog Talk. We got to tell folks thank you. You know, with now, excuse me, Prophetess Shaw. But I thank God for her. I wouldn't have known anything about this without her. So I thank God for that 2-hour Saturday evening show that I did. So I thank God for introduction. Thanking God for the people in your life. Thank God for your brothers and your sisters, for your mothers and your fathers. Thank God daily. I thank God for my children and my extended family. And the Lord tells us, but do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices. God is well pleased. Share your love with somebody today. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul as those who must give account. You know, we can get mad at our pastors because of chastisement, but a pastor that don't love you is not one that's going to chastise. The one that loves is the one that's going to tell you about stuff and tell you that you got to get some things right. Before you can do this and that, you got to do what you need to do to get you right. So I thank God for my pastor, because she takes this responsibility very seriously, because she knows she will be accountable for lost souls. So I'm grateful for a pastor that has listened and read the word of God. And it says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, but that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Paul is speaking. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Paul was going through, but reading this letter, you would know he was in chains. Reading this letter, you would know that he was maybe standing at death's door. He was lifting up, not tearing down. And I love this word. You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hebrews 13:8. Just like his Father, the everlasting God. Genesis 21:33. Whose ways are everlasting. Habakkuk 3:6. And he says, I do not change. Malachi 3:6. So Jesus remains the same forever. Hallelujah. And I have a life question. How can I claim God's promise? You might want to get a piece of paper to write these down. And I thank Dr. Stanley for this word. And it says this by some count. God has issued more than 40,000 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of promises. But sometimes it may be difficult to determine how to properly respond to God's awesome assurances. The first thing to keep in mind is that the Bible contains two kinds of divine promises. The first, limited promises. God has made many promises to specific people living in particular circumstances for explicit purposes. These promises are not the one size fit all. So it's not a, I'm going to give Pastor Bridget this promise, but I'm going to give you this promise, and the promise I give Pastor Bridget just comes to that. Maybe what I need is something different than what you need. Like I said, maybe I need deliverance from procrastination. But you might be the person that has it all together, organized, and got it all right. So that's, you don't need my procrastination deliverance or promise. Limited promises. God has made many promises to specific people living in particular circumstances for explicit purposes. These promises are definitely not one size fits all. If you try to claim these promises for yourself, you are headed for trouble. Come on. And it says, for example, the resurrected Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And we know that was the Holy Spirit. And that as they did, they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:4-5. It would be foolish for you to travel to Jerusalem and wait there to receive his promise, since Jesus already fulfilled it that first Pentecost. Today, the Spirit baptizes every believer into the body of Christ and takes up residence within as they there at the very moment that people trust Christ. Jesus gave this promise to a specific group of people at a particular time for an explicit purpose. It isn't for everyone else to claim. When I went back to church, God used me for his purpose to teach children's church. And I'm grateful he has called me back to youth ministry. He called me to a particular time and a particular purpose. And when my time and my purpose was up, he moved somebody else into that position because it was time for them to recognize their purpose. And then he put me back where, in my first love, which is children and children's ministry. But it's, as I say, what's not for you is not for you. Everybody can be in children's ministry. Everybody doesn't have that gift that God gives you to have patience with kids and to love children as you would love your own children. So God puts us in position for purposes. And it goes on to say general promises. So you can't claim my blessing if God puts me there. You know, folks love to try to come in and take over somebody else's ministry. When it's not for you, it is not going to work. You're going to be out the door quicker than her. You know, until God says, okay, now you can come, this is for you. We got to understand God has particular things for particular people. Some folks are geared to do certain things. If you are geared to be a teacher, teach. If you are geared to be an administrator, be the administrator. But don't try to teach when that's not your gift. You know, you got to do what God gives you. Again, limited promises. If God says, I need you to do X, Y, Z at X, Y time, you got to be ready. Just like the 10 brides. Remember the 10 brides? They were supposed to have their stuff together, right? Those 10 brides had their oil. They was ready. Bridegroom was late. I hope he didn't have a procrastination spirit. I don't think so. But it was for a purpose. Because he had to divide the wheat from the tares. The prepared from the unprepared. That's why I asked God, I want to be prepared. I want to have my bags packed. I want to be ready when the Lord comes. When my time is here, I want to be ready. And I want to have all my stuff in order. And what we have to understand is, God was ready. They had bought extra oil just in case. And the others were not. And when they went to buy oil, the bridegroom came. The five that was ready walked on in. The ones that were not was knocking at the door and couldn't get in. We got to be ready because we don't know when that limited promise is coming. General promises. Since God has made many universal promises applicable to all his children throughout all of history. For example, he has promised never to leave or forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. He also promised many times to return for us. John 14:3. These promises return to all believers across all of time. Yet general promises can also be of two types. The two types are conditional promises, testifies like Philippians 4:19. Psalms 37:4 and others contain conditional promises. To receive the benefit offered, we have to meet some conditions. Conditional promises require something of the believer in Philippians 4:19. The condition is that we be in Christ. The believer must be living for him and in total submission to his will. The same holds true for delighting in the Lord as stated in Psalms 37:4. Clearly, a relationship becomes a request. And the last is unconditional promises. Unconditional promises require nothing of the believer. The promises mentioned above in Hebrews 13:5 and John 14:3 are of this type. God will fulfill these promises because he has pledged to fulfill them. Nothing anyone does can alter his commitment or change his plans. We will keep these promises not because of anything we do, but because of his faithfulness. Delight in the Lord. I will never leave you or forsake you. Oh. That's God. What a mighty God we serve. Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. Identification with Jesus brings undeniable blessings, but it can also bring reproach and persecution. This is not something to be avoided at all costs, but rather it's something to be embraced when it occurs. We may have to stand and say who we are. Queen Ramonda told them in Black Panther. So sure, tell them who you are. We got to tell them who we are. We are Christians. We believe in Christ. We are members of the way, the truth, and the life. But we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's who we are. And if you got to give your neck and your head to the guillotine, to say who you are, be willing and ready to die for Christ if he died for you. Hebrews 13:20-21, God makes you complete in every good work to do his will working in you what is well pleasing in his sight. It is God working in us that enables us to do anything worthwhile for his kingdom. We obey God, do his will, and please him only by relying on the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Is your Holy Spirit lightened today? Is it a light today? Because I pray that it is, And as we go into this new book, getting out my little book, what the Bible says about James. James, probably a brother of Jesus, found in Mark 6 and 3, approximately AD 60. The teamwork is a less to describe James as real Christian faith is shown by one's good works. Details, please. Though the Apostle Paul clearly taught that salvation is by faith alone and not by good works, Romans 3 and 28, James clarifies that good works will follow true faith. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? 2 and 4, James encourages Christians in everyday life to view trials as opportunities for spiritual growth, to control their tongues, to make peace, to avoid favoritism, and to help the needy. The bottom line, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and does not, to him it is sin. James 4 and 17. Quotable, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. James 4 and 8. The obsession and fervent prayer, we hear this all the time. Now you know it comes from James 5 and 6. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. Unique and unusual for those who think it's enough just to believe in God. James says the devil also believes and trembles. 2 and 19, life-changing faith is key, and Jesus is the key. So what? Want practical wisdom for living the Christian life? You'll find it all through the book of James. I told you, we're getting ready to get into some serious business. I love the book of James. So let's get started before we run out of time. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy, falling to various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, come on now, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exhortation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. But no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance vanishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. But God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Did you catch that? Catch it. The Lord is trying to get our attention. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. But God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Catch that and put that in your arsenal when temptation comes at you. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and insights. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived by my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, our shadow of turning. Of his will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Come on now. For wrath a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let me read that again, because we all know we want to get in our feelings sometimes, as the kids say. Let's not. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, wrote a rap. But a rap of man does not produce a righteousness, the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Read that again really quick. It says this, but he be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. But he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Wow. James breaks it down. And this is the word that God gave Dr. Stanley, a life question. And it says this, how does God teach me patience? Patience has been defined as learning to accept difficult situations as from God without giving him a deadline for their removal. We know we need it, but we generally shun the process by which we learn it. Ours is the now generation. We want it now. We cannot wait for God's direction, so we move ahead on our own initiative. We cannot wait for sex and marriage, so we damage the relationship by demanding immediate gratification. We cannot wait for our wealth to grow, so we prefer get-rich-quick schemes. Striving to have it all now is a costly and disappointing approach to life. The Old Testament admonishes us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, Psalms 27:14. And it promises those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth, Psalms 37:9. Parable of the sower, we read, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience, Luke 8:15. God may require us to wait for our needs and desires for any of several reasons. What we want is right for us, but we are not ready for it. Been there. Our motivation for having it opposes God's purpose for us. God is trying to get our attention about some hidden sin in our lives. God wants to teach us discipline through waiting. Getting what we want would have a negative effect on someone else. God wants to teach us to depend on him. Come on, God. Not on ourselves or others. God wants to teach us to trust his ways and timing and to learn that they are best. How do we learn patience? Through trials and tribulations. The Bible encourages us to count it all joy when we face trying times. But why? Not because it is pleasant, but because it is profitable. Trials produce patience, James 1:2-3. Tribulations produce patience, Romans 5:3. In times of difficulties, we learn to endure, to bear up, to persevere, to keep holding on with no help in sight. When we can do so without setting a deadline for surrender, then we have a developed one of life's greatest qualities, patience. Understand, God is in charge of everything, our life and our death. God has got it all covered. All we have to do is what's in between birth and death. And it's like we live, we die, and we pay taxes. You know, but we have to understand God is in charge of everything. He's in charge of our birthday, and he's in charge of our death day. We give it to God, and God is will take us where we need to go. I'm grateful that God has given me another day and that God has given me this awesome James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light. Do you enjoy good health and a roof over your head? If so, that's God's gift. Do you have enough to eat? A solid church home? Some faithful friends? A source of income? A generous God bestows them all. James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Our culture tends to consider people spiritual merely if they have an interest in spiritual things. This is not the biblical perspective. Only those who hear God's voice and obey it are spiritual. And that is our word for this morning. If there's anyone that has a word from God and would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. What a word this morning. I just thank God. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. From today's Carolyn's gift is this: the safest place in the world to be is in the will of God. All up in the word this morning. Have a fantastic Friday, family. We are not going to have time to get into our Psalm and Proverbs, but I am so grateful for the word that we have received. Thanking God for all of you. Thanking God for just having a word of God. And I say to you, make sure as you go through this weekend, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Don't just go and sit down in the pew and let somebody holler and scream at you. If they don't open the word of God, pack up your word and go somewhere where God's word is open. Because we are not going to be just doers. We're going to be doers of the word and not just hearers. So let's go to work. We got work to do. And who do we work for? We work for God. Keep God first in everything that you do. Watch him work in your life. And just as those that have to leave right now, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from each other. I just have a word in our prayer book this morning, and it says, thank you. Let us be thankful because we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We shall worship God in a way that pleases him with respect and fear. And that came from our Hebrews chapter 12 words. And it says, holy God, the heavens declare your glory by their very existence. By their very existence. Every eye sees your beauty. Who commits it? Yet even if it could be overlooked, your kingdom remains true. It is set on the bedrock of your unfailing love. Nothing can shake or destroy it. Thank you for a kingdom that lasts. There has been no other in all of history that has maintained its power through the ages. You, though, don't rule in fear or intimidation. You reign in honor and with mercy freely flowing to all who seek refuge in you. I worship you, Lord. You are nobler than the most honorable ruler. You are truer than the most loyal friend. You are beyond comprehension and yet the fulfillment of knowledge. I am undone at the thought that I am yours. Thank you. May I follow in your ways and customs all the days of my life until your kingdom can be seen with the naked eye and all are amazed by the beauty of your majesty. You will be seen in all your fullness and glory. And the question for today as we wrap up is, what about God's kingdom are you thankful for? Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be a child of God and to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, God, for all of you. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap because I got to go to work. And I am getting rid of that procrastinating spirit. Praise God this morning. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.